Hold Sodden, save the continent. Destiny is nigh. Stay tuned as we discuss the finale of The Witcher Season 1, starting now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. We're here for the final episode of The Witcher Season 1. I am sad. I'm sure you're all sad with us. So, as we cry out our tears, join us as we discuss the finale much more. But joining me today, we have Ben, the Witcher. And Olivia, the Sorceress.
No, why?
I know. I cannot believe that we're going to have to wait for season two. But we'll talk about that more in news. Speaking of news, be sure to stick around until the end because we do have some news. And we're going to do a toss a coin to your production spotlight. We're doing acting today. And we've got me and Ben as the actors representing. Olivia, are you an actress as well?
No, I just, you know, I'm here.
Yeah, she's here.
We're in LA. We're all actors.
Yeah. But me and Ben, we have an article to talk about too. With Henry Cavill. So, stick around for that. We're going to dive right on in because we've got so many things to talk about. First, Olivia, let's open up this question to the chat first. If you want to talk about your overall thoughts of the finale.
Yeah, hi guys in the chat. Welcome back. NAP, Ivan Soto, as always.
Mason, hey, Ivan. Love you, man.
Grayson, hi Steven. Everyone, you guys are kind of the best. And let me know what you guys thought of this episode because I thought it was awesome. The battle scene was kind of the craziest thing I've seen in a long time. So congratulations to The Witcher. You guys, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And the mages too.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a fantastic job. They have like crazy good powers.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I was expecting a little more at the end, at the very end, the last 1 or 2 minutes. I mean, we see that they're kind of, we have each other now. But I felt like I was expecting more action.
What? There was so much action.
I mean, but the emotion, at the end it was very emotional. I love that too. But I was like, maybe they ended the first season with a bang, with a huge bang, even at the very last 5 minutes or whatever.
Yeah. So my thing was, when we get to the very end, you know, we'll just talk about it now. We've all seen it. With Ciri and Geralt, when they run to each other, I thought that after all of that action with the battle, that this was like a simple way of actually saying, hey, this is what we're going to do to, you know, just kind of wind this down for the season.
I agree.
So I appreciated that it was like this. I also loved that she ran up to him and hugged him.
Yes.
And then, you know, of course we get who's Yennefer.
Yeah. Which is like the most hilarious thing. It's like this, it's epic and they run to each other and they haven't, you know, they're finally meeting and she's like, so who's Yennefer?
Like, I love that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Is she jealous?
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out in season two.
Yeah.
No, but all right. So let's rewind this and we'll talk about this ending scene again at the end. Let's talk about Geralt first because unlike the rest of the season, we started to get some background story with him.
Yes.
Some crazy background story. So we see that these zombie creatures come up and bite him. Anyone else would be dead. Geralt survives, but he's going through this moment where he's severely delusional as the farmer who he saved is, you know, taking him back to his farm.
Yes. I thought that was one of the things that was severely lacking in this whole show was like, we didn't know anything about Geralt. You know, we didn't know anything about his backstory. And then, so finally when this happened, I was like, oh, they're saving the best for last. Like, we finally get to understand what happened with him, where he came from, what's going on with his life. And so I thought that was really interesting. But was his mother, was it a hallucination or was she actually there?
Very good point. I'm still asking myself the same question.
Let me know in the chat.
Here's my question. I think it was his mother, but I think it was a dreamlike state. So he saw Yennefer. He also saw Renfri and he saw his mother at the same time. I think it was all, I don't think they were physically there, but I think that one of the things that this show really dives into is this idea of a subconscious and of, you know, maybe a spirit being separate from an actual body.
Yeah.
And so I feel like just like how everybody is tied together via destiny, this concept that you in the beyond, whatever that is, the show really hasn't touched on that. In this other space, your soul is actually there and your soul is constantly in contact with the people who are in your circle.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that spiritually they were all there with him.
Yeah.
So it really was, especially the mother, because she seemed very lucid in terms of what she was saying to him.
Yeah.
And it was less of a dream. So I feel like she really, her spirit was really there. Physically, no. Obviously, this was, you know, not actually physically happening. But I think that it was also, he needed her to be there to grow beyond what he once was.
Yeah. Yeah. In the chat, Benny, I'm pretty sure his mom was there. Ivan, Geralt's mom was there, but she spelled him to think it was a dream. And Grayson, yes, she was there. So yeah, it's she was there, but yeah. You know,
so you guys think she was really there?
I mean, so, I think in the chat they think
interesting
that she was really there. Like JJ says, she was really there, in my opinion. But I think it was more of a she was there in spirit, like you were saying,
right.
But maybe not physically there.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Her name is Visenna.
Yeah.
But they didn't really tell us who Vesemir is, right? He's just the guy who's taken him as a child and just raising him.
In the book, there's a lot more reference of Vesemir, right. So we do hear his name. So I was surprised. I think we had heard the name a couple times in the show.
Yeah.
But you hear a little bit more in the book.
Right.
But yeah, it's interesting. I like that they don't really, you know, they don't dive into it too much. We just hear the name.
Mm-hmm.
I am almost wondering how, you know, Vesemir and his mother are actually connected. We do learn that she's a sorceress. But on top of that, the dream sequence that really is sticking out in my mind is the moment where we also see Borsch and how he shows up as like this definitely an illusion of being a golden dragon and saying, this is magic, it's not real.
Yeah.
I feel like, but that shows me that Borsch, for me, I feel like it wasn't just a dream or not real. I think Borsch, the guy, the old guy that we know from the last two episodes, he was always with him, I feel. So I feel like that was Witcher's destiny his whole life. And I think Borsch is a big part of that.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
Yeah. And in the chat, they made an interesting point. They said, you know, if Geralt's mom was a mage or a witch, then how is it possible that she gave birth to Geralt?
Good point.
Unless, like Ivan said in the last episode, it's actually not true that you have to give up your ability to bear children. And somehow she got through the process without having to give up that right.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and maybe they'll dive into it in season two. You know, maybe they're just dropping these names now just to get them into our heads. But, and then in season two, we're going to actually dive into who these people are and more of Geralt's backstory.
And I wouldn't be surprised too. I mean, we've seen Eretusa, we've seen Tessaia, we've seen that part of the world. I wouldn't be surprised if there's actually other magical places where people can train or learn how to, you know, wield their magic. So I'm still open-minded to that. In the book, there are other spots, and I don't want to dive into it too much because, you know, for anyone who hasn't read the book, there are characters in here that did not make it onto the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's so I know that there are other magical elements to this world than what we've seen.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, whether his mother is connected to that or not, I'm not sure, but
The only thing I have to say about the last episode, I loved it too, but I was missing Jaskier.
I feel like they
should have showed him just maybe tiny little bit just to see where he is right now. I was missing this guy.
Yeah, he's funny, I miss him. Everybody misses him.
I know. So I was like, wow, that's why didn't you put him in there? You know?
Yeah. I'm 100% with that. Like, he should have at least been in it because he's like a fan favorite now.
Yeah, maybe just see him crying for a minute somewhere or something. Yeah. Like that, or playing a song.
Or like one of his girls or something, you know?
Just writing a song or whatever, you know?
Or as Ciri and Geralt meet and run toward each other, he's there playing on, you know?
That would be the funniest moment ever. I mean, that's for sure. In the background,
we should have written this show. We should have.
For sure.
For sure. Doubt.
That's amazing. Yes. I love that part.
That would have been hilarious. And it wouldn't have been, who's Yennefer? Who's this guy? End cut.
Yeah. I love that. Oh my God. Guys, did you hear that?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Seriously. Next time. We get a little bit with his backstory. We see this vision with his mom, which we talked about. Let's jump then and talk about the battle and more of Yennefer's perspective in all of this. But before we do, we have an announcement for everybody listening at home.
Of course we do. Oh my God, we have an announcement every day for you guys. Because it's because of you that we are here. And we just wanted to let...
Magical.
Thank you.
And we just wanted to let you know, thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk, right? And we say that every time, but I have to point that out one more time. Without you guys, we wouldn't be here, right? We do a lot of shows, and you guys are always with us, commenting, giving your own opinion, right? And also, if you want to just listen to us, I know you want to see us, but if you just want to listen to us, go to the podcast on iTunes, right? Leave some comments. 5 stars, right? Don't forget the 5 stars, and also thumbs up on YouTube. We would love to see that, right? And keep going.
Absolutely. And also, this is kind of random. We don't usually talk about this, but I believe we're also on Spotify now.
Oh, yeah.
Can't rate it, but you know, hey, if you
have... Oh my
God,
how can I forget Spotify in this world?
I'm obsessed with Spotify.
That's all I listen to. So,
you're right.
Yeah. So
now I can listen to myself. Just kidding. I would listen to all of Rachel's shows.
So you listen to yourself. I would like... Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah. That would be a cool playlist to check out. Yeah. All right.
Anyway,
and there's a Witcher playlist too.
Olivia.
All right. So let's talk about Yennefer.
Okay.
And we have her deciding officially she's going to join them, Tasaya, and they're going to go. And they end up at this, they don't call it a castle. They call it a keep, I believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so it looks like it's not much, but here we are. And they say that it's basically the only block between the Yruga River.
Yes.
Basically shielding the north and the sudden.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so, here we are. And I did not expect all of the character development we got with Yennefer and Tasaya.
Yes.
And we were talking, and this is what I didn't want to say in episode 7, but I'll say it now.
Mm-hmm.
After 8, I do not think, I never really thought Yennefer was evil, but after this, I feel like she's definitely 100% one of the good guys.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, the show was super vague about it for all these episodes, and now they finally show us, yes, she is 100% good. She's good in her heart. She is not an evil person, and she, like we said, was just complicated, you know? But she is doing everything she can to save people, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And also what I realized, I think she's the most powerful magus of all of them.
Yes.
Because what's Tisaya? Tisaya is saying that at the very beginning, reserve your chaos.
Yeah.
So she did that on purpose, right? She wants her to go up and just oversee everything because she knew at the end of the day, you have to come up and save us all.
Yeah.
I think she knew that already from the very beginning.
And I love how this show calls back to everything, especially in these last two episodes. Mm-hmm. But in 8, when Tasaya says, so first of all, we had a couple of showdowns. We had Kahir and then we had Vilgefortz.
Yes.
And then we also had Fragila and Tasaya. And so we see that Fragila basically, she casts a spell, and I actually wrote it down. Let me find this in my notes. It was Demernium or something like that. Dementium, I believe. And at first I thought that she was dead.
Yes.
That whatever Fringilla had done, that was it. We weren't going to see Tasaya anymore.
Yeah.
But it seems like she's going to survive. I was very shocked by that. But in this dark night of the soul where everybody seems to be, the good guys seem to be down, we had so many, crazy moments happening. And it seemed to turn when Sabrina, at first I thought Sabrina had turned.
Me too.
But
me too.
I think it was the slugs.
The slugs
exactly,
in her ear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it was weird because they never showed us the slug going into her ear. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, no, Sabrina, why is she turning? But then they gave us a quick show of the boy with the slug in his ear. And I was like, oh, yeah, she definitely got that in her ear, too.
That was great storytelling right there. I mean,
it reminded me of Animorphs.
Yeah.
If you guys remember that, where people are, these little slugs crawl into people's ears and then control their mind.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was like, okay, I can get behind this.
For sure.
So then we have that moment. And I think at the end, obviously Sabrina was apologizing. And the genuine way she gave the apology, I knew, okay, this was not her choice to act like this.
For sure.
So things start to change for them. And then we get that whole moment with Yennefer where Tasaya says, you know how forget the bottle, let everything out.
I just got goosebumps again.
Yeah.
And boy, did she let everything out. And I loved that when she was doing this, she decides oh, I'm dead because this is so crazy. And she ducks down and then she realizes that Yennefer and all of her crazy power even made a little spot to save Tasaya and not hit her in the fire part. So I was like, she's so powerful, but yet still has so much control.
Which makes me think okay, wow, so she can control her power even. And she's the most powerful one. So why didn't she do that in the first place, saving everybody?
She didn't know.
Yeah, I don't think she knew either.
No.
I mean, think it was because she's been taught her entire life, training, and even post-training, she's never had this opportunity. And I think that it kind of mirrors what was happening with Siri, too, where Siri doesn't know that she has these certain powers. Siri hasn't been trained at all either. Yeah. But with Siri, in a moment of need, it comes out. Yeah. Like, when it needs to be there, it's there. And this was in a moment where Yennefer knew if she didn't do something, people were already dying. At one point, they had 22 mages left.
Right.
And this is before they really... Yeah. I think it was even less by this point.
So she had to get to this extreme situation in order to find out how powerful she is. Okay.
Yeah. And I did like the parallel between, you know, this is when we saw Siri, like, completely... This episode, we saw Siri completely explode into her power. And then we saw Yen completely explode into her power. And it's like both of these women at the same time kind of use their full potential or whatever. So that was cool.
And it's interesting because we see with Siri, it's more like we did see her full potential at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then when we come back to her, and we'll talk more about Siri in a little bit, but when we get back to Siri, we see the after effects and then we end it. We pretty much end it until we get to like the meeting of Siri and Geralt. But we pretty much end the episode, you know, with the opposite, with Yennefer coming into her full power.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like bookended with these two, you know, powers.
Yeah.
You know, beginning and ending the episode. So I absolutely loved how they structured that.
Yeah.
But then also Yennefer, I think that for her it was important because this. Even outside of her relationship with Tasaya, where there were moments, like in the beginning of the season, where she seemed like she looked up to her and wanted her to like her and love her, after that ended and Yennefer went out on her own and was like, you know, screw this, I don't trust anybody, you know, be glad you weren't born to the baby, you can't ever attach to anyone. And we've seen her go through so many things where she's pushed people away.
Yeah.
This moment with Tasaya changed Yen. Now she knows, like, there are people worth fighting for. This is my legacy.
Yeah.
And all this time she's been trying to create a baby. Now she knows that, no, sometimes there are people that come into your life that you cross paths with in the matter of destiny. That
I'm done. I forgot it.
That it's all, sometimes it's about the people that we're destined to meet.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And the love that was showed between her, you know, mother Tasaya and daughter Yen, is like it was so pure and so true at the end, and it's something that we had been wanting this whole season, you know, something so pure of love, and it finally happened. So.
Yeah, and even the sorority between her and the other adult mages at the end, I sensed Yennefer really caring, showing that she cared for them more than we had seen before.
Yeah, there was a bond between those people.
Yeah, like a sisterhood.
Yeah, like sisterhood.
So I was really happy to see that with her. We, as we're seeing this battle, we do hear that, I mean, Geralt's going through his whole ordeal.
Yeah.
He does hear the battle. We are seeing, like, you know, little moments with Siri where we see that she is also hearing the battle.
Yeah.
So I feel like now is probably a good time to talk a little bit about her.
Yes.
And touch on that.
Okay.
So let's jump. At the beginning of the episode, we did see that she, you know, she wakes up. She doesn't even know exactly what she's done. I was sad for the horse.
First of all, they keep killing horses in this episode. Like, that was not the first horse. That was, like, the fourth horse that is, like, maimed. It's like, you can't just, like...
Yeah.
They're poor innocent animals.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that's true.
And I understand Siri did not, I don't blame her, but it just was sad to me. I was like, oh, poor thing.
Yeah.
Her horse. And the guys, I was like, yep, they deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah. But like the first shot you see is of that horse and it's like so cut up and gnarly. I was like, oh, why are you showing this? But then they pan to all the dudes and you're like, all right, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. No, that's true, yeah. Yeah, I think it was a powerful scene that we saw before in the seventh episode. Now then we see the turnout, right? We saw what happened. But I still don't understand who that person was who was talking to her. So you said it was her mom even, right?
It could be.
I'm guessing it was her mother. I mean, it could be somebody we haven't even met yet.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
But I'm guessing that it was somebody who is kind of like, you know, when we were talking about Geralt and the visions and how I believe that these people... They're like spiritually, because they're spiritually connected to him, that's why he was seeing them, and it really kind of was them in a way.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the same thing in this moment with Siri, that there are people who are spiritually connected to her.
Yes.
And so it was her, you know, could be her mother, could be somebody else who's there trying to protect her.
Right.
But that somebody stepped in and, you know, somebody with power stepped in and was able to guide her a little bit.
And maybe that person's going to guide her in the future. In season two, that person will come in and be like, okay, now I have to train you to be this, like, whatever you're gonna be.
But whatever
it is, it's gonna be crazy.
Now she obviously, I mean, we have not seen Pavetta except for that one scene, really. So we don't know the extent, we don't know what her powers are fully. We just know what we've seen. So I feel like it's not fair for me to say that Siri seems more powerful, but I'm wondering if she is.
I think she probably is more powerful. I think she's probably one, I think Siri is the one of the going to be the most powerful being.
Yeah.
And that's why everyone was so crazy to protect her. We'll have to see, which is unfortunate. We have to wait. Yeah.
I mean, also in this episode, I had a feeling there must be a deeper connection between Yennefer, Geralt, and Ciri.
Mm-hmm.
Especially between Yennefer and Ciri. And that's also why she's asking that question, which leads us to that in the second season. That's what I'm predicting right now.
So, you know? And that's something that I want to mention too, is that one of the things they really highlighted in this battle is that as everybody was under attack, Yennefer was communicating telepathically more than we've seen ever.
Yes.
And they were all doing that.
Right.
And so that kind of, you know, brings me back to Geralt in that moment where he's, you know, delusional.
Mm-hmm.
And it also brings me to the moment with Ciri where she is fighting off these guys. It makes me think that maybe a mage is there assisting her from afar, who's actually still alive. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting when we get to the end with Yennefer, where she's fighting and like it's near the end, and everybody, we have Geralt calling out for her and to Saya, and then we know that Ciri has heard it, even though she's not calling out too.
Yeah,
I thought that was one of my favorite moments of the entire season.
Yes.
That's where the connection happened between them,
between all of them.
For sure. But I also wanted to ask you guys and also the guys at home. Yennefer, she also says that before the battle starts, it's magic, it's not real, to that one woman. And we hear Borch saying the same thing to the young Witcher, right? To young Geralt.
Yeah.
What do you think is the real meaning of that phrase, of that sentence? There must be something more than just, it's not magic, it's not real. What do you think is that?
I don't know.
Because she says it and he said it independently, separately.
Yeah, they would not have pointed that out that directly if there wasn't some
reason. Yeah, exactly. There must be something.
I wonder. I mean, obviously, it's really happening from their perspective in the sense that they're having this battle and that we've seen enough magic to know it's real.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if it's metaphorical for maybe. People who, maybe it's metaphorical for this idea of destiny and people not believing in this whole interconnected ability between people. And so that's what it really means.
Right.
Magic in this case doesn't mean what the mages can do. Magic is more, you know, beyond what powers people have.
Yeah.
And that people are not, like, we see Calanthe, she refuses to believe in destiny and this prophecy and law of surprise, and look at where it got her. And I think that maybe that's what they're referring to, is that, hey, know, you need to, like, Geralt already was kind of waking up to this anyway.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe he hasn't fully, and that there's things that he doesn't process yet.
Yeah.
There are things that Yennefer doesn't process, and obviously Ciri, and that it's warning us, hey, it's trying to, like, wake everybody up and say, there is a deeper connection between all of you people, and it's, you know, you need to see
that.
It. Yeah.
Ivan says maybe they mean magic isn't a happy thing, and magic is pain and death.
Oh, that could be, too.
That's deep, too. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, that could be, and that this all, the interesting thing, I just want to say this about Fringilla. In 7 and 8, but especially 7, we didn't touch on it as much, but she had this whole scene where she was defending her side of things and dark magic, and how it's really not dark. It's just the way that, you know, they teach it in the schooling, and like just the way that they...
There's no boundaries.
Yeah. Mm. And so it's like, okay. And she actually, Fringilla, made some really good points. It's just that we know that she is doing some terrible things, and so is Kahir. And, and then still, we don't have the answer to what Kahir wants with Ciri. That was left unanswered in 8. And so we know, like, obviously this is a negative thing, and it's just, you know, we don't know, we just don't know yet what he wants. But the point is that from Fringilla's point of view, This isn't some dark person who's just trying to kill everybody. She is actually doing things because she believes it's the right thing to do right. for the world.
But I think that goes to show with every villain that we encounter. I don't think they're thinking, oh, I'm going to be the greatest villain. You know, I think that they see things from a certain perspective that maybe other people don't see in that same perspective. So they're like, I'm going to do it this way because this is the way that I think is right.
Yeah.
And that's what Fringilla was doing the whole time.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
So, okay, let's talk about Ciri a little bit more, and then we'll just kind of wrap up with the finale, and then maybe our last thoughts and any kind of predictions that we have. Mm-hmm. We usually don't do the prediction segment, but because it's the last episode, that would probably be, you know, a good thing to do, and then we'll get to our special segment.
Let's do it.
Gotcha.
Okay, so did you guys think it was kind of coincidental that, I mean, maybe not, but going off the whole theme of destiny that the farmer was the wife's husband.
Yeah. I got a chuckle out of it. I was like, that's funny. They did that on purpose. And I mean, obviously it's coincidental, but I think in this, you know, world, it's just meant to be destiny.
Yeah.
That's the only explanation I have. I feel like, wow, that was a little too easy in a way, right? But then talking about destiny, okay, it's meant to be. Then I was finishing that thought, you know, I was done. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And it was cute that they were like, he was like, I found a witcher. And she's like, and I found a little girl. Look at them. And they're both so excited. And they turn around and they're both gone. And they're like, oh.
And he just left into the woods. <all over. laughs>
I guess,
and they're so clueless. Like the woman too. Like one of the conversations she has with Ciri is that she has everything, and she even says, "And now I have a little girl." And I was like, "Well, yes, this is all great," but I could see in Ciri's face that she knew she needed to leave.
Yeah,
and that was it, and she needed to find Geralt.
Yeah, right. Ivan made a really interesting point. It's destiny, because the farmer wanted to give Geralt the law of surprise, and that would have been Ciri. Think about that. True, because remember he saved the farmer, and the farmer's like, "I'll give you law of surprise," but he didn't even know that he already had a daughter at home, and that would have been Ciri. It would have been double law of surprise.
Man, you're good.
Double law of surprise. But, okay, mind blown.
Now, law of surprise, though, I totally like his point. But law of surprise, you don't necessarily know if it's going to be Ciri or not.
No, exactly. Yeah. The farmer didn't know that he had Ciri yet.
Yeah, he didn't. But it could be, law of surprise could be anything though, right? Like, I mean, probably.
But it's usually like a child, I think, so that, you know, that child that you don't have or whatever. So that's funny.
But if you don't know what it is, when do you know? When you experience the law of surprise, then you know what I mean. I'm still asking myself that. When do you feel that as the one who's getting the law of surprise?
I almost wonder if it's like the universe's way. Like you get it when you're supposed to get it, and so
and you just
in
know.
And in the instance of, you know, obviously with Pavetta, the law of surprise was snatched right there.
It was a nice way of doing it. Okay, I see.
Yeah, that happened right away. That was so funny.
Morning sickness.
Yeah,
she showed it to him.
Okay, let's talk about that final scene one more time, and then we'll get to predictions and any last thoughts. We had that final scene. I'm just going to kind of say what I think might happen. First of all, I was worried that they were not going to find each other. I would have been very frustrated.
Yes.
When they did find each other, I was not expecting her to ask about Yennefer.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Like, that was so out of the blue for me.
Yeah.
But I thought it was sweet that, you know, they were both in the woods like we'd been predicting. And then it was, you thought that he lost her because he didn't see her. And all of a sudden you just see her running towards him just like they felt. You know, they felt like they needed to be together. Yeah. And I thought that was really cool.
It was very romantic in a way, little bit, right? I really do appreciate that. But again, I would have liked to see Yasuke in the background playing the guitar or doing something. You know? It's just saying, right? So, but seriously, it was a great scene, and I didn't expect her to ask him right away, but I knew that she wanted to find out more now because we see her waking up and she saw all of it, right?
Yeah.
So, but it was a great start though, from a storytelling perspective, to go into the second season, obviously, because now we all ask, why is she asking that?
Well, because he was screaming her name.
Exactly. But now we are hooked already. That's what I'm just saying for the second season, and they did that on purpose.
What if they become mom and dad, and then they have Ciri, and then they grow up to be a big, powerful magic family?
That's what I think.
It's so beautiful.
That's what I'm gonna. So my prediction is exactly that. That it's gonna be. No, it's okay. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Ben, what do you think?
Oh my god, predict there's so much stuff, but
your AfterBuzz prediction.
I got no pressure. So my first prediction is that Yasuke is definitely coming back. right? He's coming back. He's writing new songs. He's singing for us. I definitely know that for a fact. But I also feel like there has to be something deeper between Yennefer and Ciri. There is something going on. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're even related to each other or something. You know, that's just my prediction. That's what I say. Okay, my prediction is Yennefer and Ciri are related to each other.
All right. Okay.
There you go.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, mine's going to be the one I just kind of said by accident. But that, you know, that Ciri is going to be the daughter that Yennefer never had, you know, and has always wanted. And then she's going to truly love Geralt. And then they're going to live happily ever after in some little elf town being cute.
I don't think they're going to live happily ever after, but maybe 5 seasons from now.
Oh, wow, that's harsh.
I do think that they are going to have this family bond. I think that season 2 is going to be more about finding Yen.
Yeah.
And that it's going to take a while and that she is obviously going to survive. But it's going to be about finding her and kind of much like this whole thing with Destiny in season 1 was about Ciri and Geralt finding each other. I think it's going to be about Ciri and Geralt finding Yen and that she's going to be their next Destiny.
Yeah.
Okay. I take it even further, guys. I believe now what you guys are saying after, I believe that Yennefer and Ciri are going to fight over Geralt and having their superpowers going crazy.
Vito in the booth here, I also just want to chime in with a prediction of my own.
Yes.
Of course. I think that it'll end up being Yennefer and Geralt fighting over Ciri being either a witcher or a sorceress. That's just my prediction. What do you guys think about that?
Man, you are good.
True.
I think that Ciri and Yen are going to bond, like, really quickly.
Oh, you do?
Because Ciri always had her grandmother, but it's just different having a grandmother versus having a mother.
Right.
And I think that we even see with the woman who took her in for a little bit, even though I didn't feel that they were especially connected, because I think Ciri knew that she needed to leave and go. But I feel like when Yen comes into the picture, Ciri's going to look up to her and actually, you know, want to be like her.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where it's going to go. So I don't know that there's going to be much of a competition. I think that Ciri is just going to be like, yep, I'm a mage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's predictions in the chat.
Oh, let's hear them.
Yeah. So Grayson says, I predict that Yaskier finds Yennefer first and we get a Yen and Yaskier adventure as the search for Geralt and Ciri.
I love that.
JJ says, I think Geralt will train her and make her stronger, more Yaskier a song every episode and more Geralt backstory.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Cool.
But I like Vito's idea, too.
I do like
very
that.
Unexpected.
It would be very interesting, and I could see them making a whole season out of that, too.
Yeah.
Because it would be, like, we still have that sexual tension between Yen and Geralt.
That's right.
Now there's even more tension because they're, you know, even though they love each other and they have this, obviously Yen doesn't think what they have is real because of this, his wish.
Yeah.
But now there's a child involved. But I do eventually think that after, you know, drama, it's going to be it's going to end up where they're this family unit, but I don't think it's going to be easy for them. I think it's going to be hard for a long time and that we haven't seen the last of Cahir and that he's going to be still trying to get Ciri. And I think he might succeed at some point because, of course, he's going to have to. Mm. And we're going to find out what this whole thing is all about.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think they called it the White Dawn.
Yeah.
So we'll have to find, you know, obviously season 2 might explore that more.
Fine. And then they'll have a happy ending of mom and dad and baby.
Yes.
They're also two of the most competitive people existing in this world, so I'm excited to see that dynamic.
Yeah, for sure. And Ciri, I feel like when she comes of age, she'll be right up there with them, too.
Yeah.
So she's with the right company.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Let's talk about our segments with the final time we have. We're going to start with our toss a coin to your spotlight on production. And this time, like we mentioned up front, it's going to be on acting. I am especially excited to talk about this. It made us giggle as we were talking about it before the show. The article that we're pulling up right now is about Henry Cavill. And yes, that's Cavill as in rhymes with travel, as he said in one of his videos. I just thought that was funny. This article basically explains how he goes about his method acting This is from March, but I thought it was important to share because during production, he literally would have to leave and go do tasks to stay in character. I'm just going to read an excerpt from this because it was hilarious. Okay, so look, we all appreciate Henry's commitment to the character, explained showrunner Lauren Schmidt-Hisrick, but we can't get through two scenes without him suddenly leaving set to mow someone's lawn or help an old lady find her lost pan. We're never going to finish the show at this rate. Adding to Netflix's frustrations, the method acting process has allegedly not improved Cavill's performance, which cast members describe as wooden. Okay, I don't agree with that, but we'll leave that there. However, some have commented that his stilted demeanor and dead-eyed glare are surprisingly true to how Geralt is portrayed in the video games.
I do want to mention something real quick.
Yeah.
Apparently, Henry Cavill played a lot of Witcher 3 in order to play this part.
Yes.
And on top of that, I've actually been playing it a little bit because to get a fix for Witcher. And one of the quests is you actually have to find a woman find her pan. Oh. You have to help a woman find a lost pan. So I wonder if he actually did that just kind of on that or if the article was mentioning
for
it just
sure. Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now it makes all sense to me.
Now, and that does make sense. And that's kind of what I figured they meant by saying he was going to go mow a lawn or grab a pan. This is his quote. What can I say? Job is a job, explained a fully costumed Cavill when we caught up with him at a local Starbucks where he'd taken part-time work as a barista. I'll take any contract if you've got the coin, Witcher's code, Venti Macchiato for Cledwyn.
Oh my God.
So this guy, like, what a good actor to be.
Yeah,
I mean, first of all, I appreciate anytime I hear someone on that level going into a Starbucks and actually just working and, like, you know, being a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me a bigger fan of him than I already was. He seems like such a nice guy. If you haven't already watched it, there's a video of him reading The Last Wish.
Yeah.
He just reads like a 5-minute clip or something like that. But you can just kind of tell sometimes when somebody is a genuinely good person.
For sure.
Yeah.
For
and sure. So I appreciate that. I appreciate his method acting. That is, you know, I don't even agree with the article about it being a bad performance because I think that he has nailed Geralt.
No. Yes.
I mean, definitely. I mean, you and I, we're actors, right? And I do that on set myself. And sometimes people think I'm like arrogant or something because I'm so quiet, I'm not talking. I usually don't talk on set. If I'm on set, I'm not talking to anybody.
Yeah.
And I do that on purpose, obviously, because I can feel if I start talking about something, random stuff, it takes me out of my character completely.
And that's the same thing with me. Like, I'm not a method actress, but if I am in a scene, I need to have focus. So, like, same thing with me. Like, I can't, like, I love joking with people, but if I'm in that mood, or not mood, mode, I need to be in that mode.
Yeah.
And same thing, like, I'm a writer, too. Same thing. It's like, I feel like certain creative processes, like, you have to be, like, you have to have that focus.
Yeah.
For sure.
And
totally agree.
Be there, and certain things will take you out. So I can 100% get behind his process and respect that. And I think that it really did bring more of a three-dimensional layer to the role.
Yeah, and he did such a great job. Nobody knows what they're talking about when they're saying he did such a great job. So.
We should go to a Starbucks then.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting going to Starbucks?
Hey! Got a good coffee for you guys.
Yeah. Right? It'll take more than your coffee. But no, just kidding.
Well, I got it.
I think it's a great time to move on to our news segment.
Yeah.
Before somebody enacts the law of surprise.
Okay, so this first thing I saw is finally that we've seen all 8 episodes, and some people were still confused about the timeline. So The Witcher put out this, like, I think it's still a little confusing for me, but a fun little graph about timing and when things happened and what characters are who and when things, you know, turned out for this show. So I just thought it was really cool. So if you want to take a screenshot of that at home, you can, and watch it, or just find it online. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
I think it's still kind of a little confusing if you read that, but I wanted to show you guys. And I also wanted to talk about when The Witcher is coming back. Netflix announced in a statement that pre-production will begin in early 2020 with a view to a 2021 air date. Showrunner and series creator Lauren Hisrick doubled down on that The Witcher Season 2 release date during a Reddit AMA writing, "We don't yet have a target launch date for Season 2 past 2021. She did, however, offer a word of warning to those expecting it sooner rather than later. "We don't want to rush the product that doesn't benefit anyone," which is very true.
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I'd rather them take longer and it be quality than just you know, pushing it.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So we're going to have to wait a little bit for season two, which makes me very upset. But it's coming, though. It is coming.
And it gives us an excuse to rewatch season one.
There you go. And play the games that you'll probably get little tidbits that you haven't gotten in the show.
And definitely, if you have not done so, the book is very good. I will just say it is translated from Polish to English. Just to give a quick review of this, it didn't pull me out for the most part. There are a couple of moments where you can kind of feel that it was translated, but overall, very, very well written. And if you enjoy the series and you have not read the books yet, you should definitely read this because it is very entertaining, and a lot of similar stories are in the show.
Yeah,
nice.
All right, so we've come to our end.
No.
I know, this has been really fun.
No more drinking and stuff.
No,
I'm gonna take one last sip. Destiny.
So, Ben, where can everybody find you?
Yeah, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. It was so great with you guys. See you on season two, right? But you can find me in the meantime on Facebook and Instagram at Benjamin Schnau, like the dog, right? And I also do The World According to Jeff Goldblum and We Are the Wave in German and English. Don't miss that out.
Yeah. I'm Olivia Di Bortoli. You can find me at Olivia Di Bortoli on Twitter and Instagram. You guys, this was so fun. I had such a blast with you guys. We'll see you for season two in like 1400 years.
But you can, this timeline.
I know, right? I'll be in the comments on the YouTube, and also you can find me on the Arrow After Show. We are doing the Crisis, I think, next week, and then the season finale, or series finale. Nice. In a little
bit. Awesome. And I am Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author. On Sundays, you can find me on the Young and the Restless After Show, Ray Donovan, Doctor Who. I'm on the Stumptown After Show on Wednesdays. Ben's counting on his fingers right now. And what I'm super stoked about is the return of Outlander February 16th. I will be on the Outlander After Show panel as well. So if you're a fan of that, be there or be square. And had to add on that note. Well, we will see you in 2021 season two.
It's Destiny, people.
It is Destiny.
Cheers.
Take a shot.
Vito,
our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.